Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you. Wow, what a week this has already started. It's only Monday. You know, we talk about these Mondays as being, you know, kind of deadhead Mondays, you know, just come into them kind of easy. Well, you know how that's going lately. That hasn't happened much. It's pretty much hit the ground running and hit it headlong and take whatever God has given us and run with it. So I'm doing that today. A lot of this is going to kind of follow up on our pastor's message from yesterday, as he preached an incredible word, literally challenging the body of Christ to be who they're supposed to be in leading generations to the Lord. I actually have titled what I'm going to share with you today, Called to Lead. Pastor Andrew had another title on his, and that's fine. I'm not going to use necessarily his notes, but I took a few notes as he spoke yesterday, and as he spoke some things that really struck home, and I began to jot down a few thoughts, and today I've sat down and kind of gone back and studied out some thoughts, and I want to share these with you today in a message called Called to Lead. This generation needs us to lead them. Now, I'm talking about our younger people. When I say this generation, obviously we're the older part of this generation now. Matter of fact, many of our parents, our elders are going on to be with the Lord, and we're the lead. We're the ones who are left to pass along the history and the heritage. They don't need us to leave them alone to sort out life. Our young people, our younger generation, our younger, whether they're our kids or just this nation's children or young people, young adults, into the middle-aged adults, for that matter, because I'm kind of leaning on the older side now. But they need us to lead. They need us to lead them. They don't need us to leave them alone to try to sort out life. This generation, they're looking for someone to lead them to truth. When I was in the juvenile detention center chaplaincy in New Mexico, Farmington, New Mexico, San Juan County, God really had to speak into me some things in order for me to be anywhere near sufficient or proficient with what I was doing inside that corrections facility. Part of that was the fact of the simplicity of what he shared with me is these kids need you to give them the truth. Unadulterated, not watered down, just the truth. And then they'll have to decide what they're going to do with that truth, whether to follow it or to throw it away. But your job is to give them the truth. And that's what I want to share with you today. Our job is to lead these kids. It's to give them the truth. They've got to have something to follow. And not just leading them with words, but by action. Our lifestyle. We've got to get our lifestyle disciplined and get it back under the covering of the Lord ourselves, because I think many of us have drifted off into some ridiculous man-made version of what God has called us to be, and it's not good. It's not healthy, and we're seeing the results of that. Honestly, look around you. Look at the generations around you and tell me that anything that we see today is solid. Solid truth, solid God truth. It's not, because we're seeing some of the most crazy stuff I've ever seen in my life. Kids identifying as furries, kids identifying as another gender, kids identifying as another whatever. I mean, it just absolutely makes no sense to me. And it's because we're not leading according to the truth, to the word. And there's a lot of history behind that. Judges chapter 2 describes where the Israelite people began to wander off from the truth of their forefathers. And this came out of the passage of scripture that Pastor Andrew was using yesterday. Judges chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it says this: Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in the Timnath-heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Goash. Verse 10 says, Also all the people of that generation were gathered to their fathers in death. So in other words, that as they aged out, that generation's forefather, that generation's fathers aged out in death. And another generation arose after them who did not know, did not recognize, nor did they understand the Lord, nor even the work which he had done for Israel. Now, if you continue to read this passage of Scripture, you see how the Israelite people begin to run amok. But again, the why comes from verse 10. Look again at what verse 10 says. Verse 10 of Judges chapter 2, it says, "Also all the people of that generation were gathered to their fathers in death. And another generation arose after them who did not know, did not recognize, did not understand the Lord, nor even the work which he had done for Israel." Now, I often reflect on the fact that the Israelite people saw the absolute miraculous things of God. They saw things that, to me, are just like, how did you miss that? How did you miss the fact that you walked across the sea on dry ground with water on both sides of you? How did you miss the fact that water came from a rock when you were thirsty wandering around in the desert? How did you miss the fact that God provided manna from heaven to feed you in the midst of that desert time? How did you miss all of these things that miraculously took place? I can tell you, if you want to look at the Israelite people and how many of them there were, I did not bring that knowledge with me today. I have looked it up before, the amount of people, it's like a train car that's the length of the United States that it would have required to take the water to that many Israelites in the desert, the food that would have required to feed that many. You got to think about it. That was miraculous things that God provided. But listen, verse 10 says, this generation, they didn't know that history. They had not been told the work of the Lord that he had done for the nation of Israel. Their forefathers failed to lead them. They failed to pass on history. They failed to pass on the knowledge of who God was to their nation, to their entire tribe. We too have failed to lead. Generation after generation have continued to weaken and water down God's word, trying to make it more palatable. I look back in my own life. I can look back to my grandparents. My grandparents, the generation that they came from, they were very chintzy with money. They were very careful with how they spent their money. They were very careful. My grandmother was a Holy Spirit-filled prayer warrior. She kept a journal of praying over her family. I've looked at her Bibles. Her Bibles are full of notes, incredible things that she jotted down so that she would not forget them. Places where she jotted down or highlighted pieces of Scripture that she was using to teach somebody about tithing and about other historical things in the Bible. But generation after generation has gotten less and less and less. My parents, my mom would drug me. I tell people all the time I had a drug problem growing up. I was drugged to church every time the doors were open. I didn't have an option. Church was not an option. And in that day, we went 3 times a week normally. We went Monday or Sunday morning, we went Sunday night, and then we went Wednesday night. And if revival broke out or if there were special services planned, we made all of those too. Every time the doors of the church were open, we were there. I did not have an option. My parents didn't give me a choice of staying home and watching the TV. I went to church. I was not the best student of that and the best child of that, I can assure you. I was an ornery. I was a hard-headed. I was a very stubborn, very, very belligerent young man in my age, of those ages. But I went to church. My mama carried a switch. And if necessary, I would receive that switch, even on a Sunday. It didn't matter to her where we were or what happened. She kept me in line, but they taught me. You understand what I'm saying? So now here we come into adulthood. And my generation comes into adulthood, and we've got these children, but now society's shifting. Society's changing. Society's making it very, very difficult to discipline our children. I worked with those kids in the juvenile detention center. The youngest I ever dealt with was the age of 10. The oldest, obviously, was at 18, and everything in between. So 8 years of different generation of young people in there that I worked with in the detention center, of all kinds of various troubles, all kinds of various family history, all kinds of various legacy that they had left to them. Very difficult time. Listen, that was a very difficult, challenging time in ministry. But generation after generation, we've weakened the gospel. We've watered down God's word. And the reason being, trying to make it more palatable, trying to get more people into our churches. Listen, if pastors today spoke absolute truth, these mega churches wouldn't exist. I don't believe. because I believe that the mega church today is not preaching a full gospel. They're preaching truth. They're preaching the word of God, but they're not talking about conviction. And they're not talking about leaving your sin behind. They're not doing what Jesus did when he encountered sin. I love this little meme that's going around about how Jesus even used the woman who had been divorced five times to do ministry. Well, there's more to that story than meets the eye of the little meme on social media. The simple fact was, is when he encountered her at the well, I do not believe was by happenstance. I believe it was an ordained moment, a divine appointment. But he didn't just use her to go gather people. He ministered to her, and he called her out in her sin, and then he told her to sin no more. You have to understand that everywhere Jesus encountered sin, he left them with a choice. Go and get this man that you're living with who's not your husband. You've been married five times before him. You're not even married to him now. Go get him. Bring him here. Let's talk about this. He's literally calling her out of her sin. That's what the word of God is supposed to do. That's what our leading is. It's supposed to lead people to Jesus. We're not condemning anyone. We're calling out sin. We're bringing about conviction through the truth of God's word by presenting the truth. The party who has presented the truth has got to make the decision on their own what to do with that truth. But God's word is the meat that sustains us. If we water it down, it's not going to fulfill our heart's desire. It's not going to give us what it takes to survive in this world today. Milk is for babies. It's necessary for the young, including the spiritually immature or the spiritually young. But as we mature, we need the meat of God's word in order to sustain us so that we grow spiritually, so that we mature spiritually, so that we become that generation leading another generation in the right way. Those who pour into a young person influences them. What influence are you having, not only on your children, but the children around you, the young people around you, the young adults around you? What influence are you having on their life? What do they see when they see you in this world today? Are you a part of the world, or do you stand out from the world? It's hardcore right there, but it's an absolute. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 25 tells us what these generations before should have done and exactly what we should be doing. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, the only God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, your entire being. That actually is repeated again in Mark chapter 12. Declaring to all within our sphere of influence just who our God is and how we should be surrendered to Him. Very important passage of Scripture. Continuing on in verse 6, it says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be written on your heart and mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with His truths, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, on your forearm, and they shall be used as bands, frontlets on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory right there, right? We need to speak the word of God. We need to write the word of God. It needs to be implanted into our children. It needs to be implanted into anyone that we speak to. There shouldn't be any doubt whatsoever of the absolutes of God's truth. It should be written on the doorposts of our house. When visitors come, they should see God's word. They should feel God's presence. They should see it in us, and they should see it in our children. We need to be pushing that off onto them. We need to be teaching them up, training them up with hearts full of truth. There's more. Beginning with verse 10, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore solemnly promised to give your forefathers, to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, to give you a land with great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn excavated cistern wells which you did not dig out, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And you eat and are full and are satisfied. God will in fact bless and provide for those who follow him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind and all their strength, even to the point of things that you didn't work for, God will provide for you. Verse 12 goes on to say, then beware that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall serve him with awe-filled reverence and profound respect and swear oaths by his name alone. Don't forget who's brought you out of despair, who's blessed you, who's provided for you in times of trouble, who's comforted you in times of struggles. We're talking about the holy God. Don't forget who brought you out, who provided, who gave to you all the things that you needed, who sheltered you, who covered you during those times. Continuing on, verse 14, it says, you shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who surround you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous and passionate God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely his. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled and burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. I don't want to be in the presence of God's anger. I don't want to feel his wrath. I don't want God's anger kindled against me. I don't want to be the recipient of anything of his wrath. Do you? Verse 17 carries on, you shall diligently keep foremost in your thoughts and actively do the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may be well with you and that you may go on in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers by driving out all your enemies from you before you, as the Lord has spoken. He's speaking here to say, he's saying, stay focused on the Lord in all of our ways. Acknowledge him. Give him credit when credit is due. Everything that we have today is because of him. Everything we offer today is because of him. The next five verses explains much that went wrong after Joshua and that generation died. They failed to lead the next generation by failing to pass along the story. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 through 25, it says, when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments, the precepts, which the Lord our God has commanded you? And then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and terrible signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all of his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us to the land which he had sworn to give to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear and to worship the Lord our God with all filled reverence and profound respect for our good always, and to, so that he might preserve us alive as it is today. Verse 25, it will be considered righteousness for us, that is right standing with God, if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he has commanded us. That passage of scripture, verse 20 through 25, it's talking about when our younger generations come and say, tell me the story. Tell me why. Why do we believe the way we do? Why do we follow the things that we do? Why do we go to church every Sunday? Why do we go to church every time the doors are open? Why do we pray? Why do we seek God? Why do we follow his statutes? Why do we follow his precepts? He's literally giving us an opportunity to speak into our generations. The reasons why we do the things that we do, because we understand, because we've seen the mightiness of God. We've seen the outpouring of God's Spirit. We've felt the very presence of God in our midst. Those types of things are what we need to be passing on to our younger generations. If we do not, as parents, grandparents, adults, and influencers, pass on the heritage of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our children and our youth will be led by someone else. There are influencers all over the world today. What are they influencing our younger generations to? Many of the influencers we have today are leading them astray. They're leading them with false doctrine. They're leading them without absolute truth. Again, verse 10 of Judges chapter 6 speaks so loudly here. Also, all the people of that generation were gathered to their fathers in death. All of the older people have passed on. And another generation arose after them who did not know. They didn't recognize and they didn't understand the Lord, nor even the work which he had done for the previous generations. That's a sad fact. And it can't be where we are today. We must speak into these younger generations. We must show them the way, the truth. the Holy Spirit prompted me to look up this passage to close this with, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. Ron and I love this piece of scripture. Starting verse 13, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer will be saved. But how will people call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, without a messenger? And how will they preach unless they are commissioned and sent for that purpose? Just as it is written and forever remains written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Man, what a powerful passage of scripture. How are they going to know if we don't tell them? It's our job. It's our role as the older generation that we need to speak back into these younger lives, into these younger people, into these young adults. My kids are parents today. My kids are raising my grandkids. I want my children to be speaking the precepts of God into their family. I want them leading their family correctly and living according to the Word of God. We should desire that with all of our younger generations. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5 through 6 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the abstinent, for their lack of honor and their wrongdoing traps them. He who guards himself with godly wisdom will be far from them and avoid the consequences they suffer. Verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and his talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Man, again, this scripture speaks loudly into what we're to do. We are to train them up. We're to train them up to avoid the thorns and the snares of the abstinent and to not have any lack of honor for who their God is. That the wrongdoings will trap them. But he who guards himself with godly wisdom will be far from these consequences. Train up a child in the way they should go, and even when he's old, he won't depart from it. This goes way beyond our view of children. Yes, we should be passing along our heritage as followers of Christ, speaking our testimony, preaching the truth of God's word to our young people, but also to all people who do not know the way to Jesus. Train them up. Speak the truth to all we encounter, because it's the truth that will set them free. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and following along our podcast today. Man, I pray this builds a fire in you. I hope it stokes up the fire inside you, that you get excited about your faith, your walk with Christ, that you become an outspoken person about the truth of God and what he's done in your life. The Revelation chapter 12, I believe, where it says that we overcome our enemy by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus dying on the cross for our sin, our acceptance of him, our believing in him and being attached to him through his sacrifice on the cross for us. But it goes on to say that we'll overcome our enemy not only by the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of our testimony. It's our story of redemption. It's what God brought us out of. That's what makes it powerful. Speak Jesus into somebody in your way today. Speak Jesus into all that you encounter. Lead your family strongly. Lead those around you strongly. Live your life according to the Word of God. Be bold. Be encouraged. Be strong in your faith, that others might follow you in these dark days that we are in. You are the light unto the world. You're a city on a hill. Be that for Jesus Christ today. Amen. Ron and I love you. We thank you so much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. We can't do what we're doing without you. God bless you for your giving. God bless you for the giving of your time, your gifts, your talents, whatever it may be, even your finances into this ministry. I know that God will repay you. He'll give back to those in the same measure in which you give. He'll measure it back, pressed down, shaken together, running over, be poured right into your lap, even by man. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you again real soon.